This call is being recorded.
Good afternoon. We're back with another episode of the Sean Moe Hoops podcast. I'm pleased to have a special guest, head coach of William & Mary, Tony Shaver, with me today. Coach, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Sean. Thanks for having me.
No problem. So Coach Shaver, I first met actually last year at one of the Vegas tournaments in July, and have been very hopeful to get you on this podcast just due to how interesting your coaching career has been. But, you know, to kind of kick things off, I want to go back in time, knowing that you played at UNC under Dean Smith, and was reading that you were a walk-on at the team at that time, and just wanted to kind of go back to that point of your career and how you ended up at UNC and kind of the walk-on process and really that your time in North Carolina as a player.
Well, it was a remarkable time for me in my life, for sure. I grew up an hour and 15 minutes from Chapel Hill, and my dream had always been to play for the University of North Carolina and Dean Smith, and as a senior in high school, he gave me that opportunity. He was a very honest man and told me that he would allow me to walk on, but with a deal that if this goes back a ways now, but my first year there was the first year freshmen were allowed to play on the varsity. So they still had a very strong freshman team. And if I became the starting point guard on that team, that I would earn a scholarship and be reimbursed for it. And so that worked for me. I went as a walk-on, but earned a scholarship. So, you know, having a chance to play for him and learn from him, I can't imagine a better situation for a young player or certainly a guy that ended up being a coach.
Yeah, so you play with some very, very talented players at that point in time. Is there any one player that still sticks out to you as maybe, you know, kind of the most talented, or, you know, who's kind of the first player that comes to mind when you think of your UNC playing career?
Wow, it would be really hard to pick one. But I mean, my freshman year, guys that were on that varsity team, George Carl, had an incredible admiration for him. One of my favorite players of all time and most respected people was Bobby Jones on that team. Just his work ethic, how humble he was as a person, how kind he was to somebody as young as I was at that time. And obviously he was a great player and had a great NBA career as well. And, you know, some guys in my class, Mitch Kupchak was probably the most, the best known of the guys that I played with in my class, but Walter Davis, Phil Ford, guys right behind us, were pretty good players too. But I've always joked with people, my claim to fame at North Carolina was that I made Phil Ford an All-American. He came in after I did, but he looked so good against me in practice every day that he gained a great deal of confidence and went on to have a great college career. So great players for sure.
Yes, I know one of the all-time greats at UNC, one of the all-time great point guards. But when you were going through your career, did you always know that you wanted to be a coach, or when did the goal of becoming a basketball coach really enter your mind?
You know, a good question, and I would probably answer that by saying my senior year. I love sports. I loved all sports. I played, four different things in high school, but my senior year, I had a back injury that prevented me from really playing. And I asked Coach Smith, if I could in any way stay involved in the program. And he was kind enough to let me, I wouldn't even say I was an assistant coach, but Eddie Fogler was coaching the JV freshman team at the time. And so he let me kind of hang around practice. Again, I wasn't coaching really, but I was, there every day listening to the practice from an entirely different perspective. And I think that probably was a key for me wanting to try coaching as a vocation. And, I was on the different side of the whistle for once. And it really was a way to stay in the game. I didn't want to leave the game of basketball. I loved athletics. And being a coach was just a way to stay in the game.
Okay. Well, for me, being from Northern Virginia, very familiar with Episcopal as well as Hamden Sydney. So how did the Episcopal opportunity come up for you after school?
Well, it's again, connection seems to be the key in getting jobs. But one of my teammates at North Carolina, Woody Coley, had attended Episcopal High School and knew they were looking for a new basketball coach. I had gone to a big public school in North Carolina. I was not familiar with the private boarding school, really. And so when I went up for an interview, it was mind-blowing, really, to see the facilities and to realize that was a high school. So it all came from connection of Woody Coley. And I was fortunate they offered me a job, and I took it and loved my time there. I had 10 great years there. And I know a lot of people would probably not understand this, but I had a very hard time leaving there. It's great, great life, a lot of good people. Most people would say you get a chance to go to college, you jump at it. But I really liked what I was doing. So I had 10 great years there at Episcopal.
How much did your coaching philosophy change over those 10 years? I'm sure at the beginning, you're young and you have a set plan, but also trying to figure things out as you go and kind of using that as kind of your developmental years in the coaching game. What were some of the biggest things that you learned during your time at Episcopal?
Well, I learned a lot. I mean, I feel like I'm still learning a lot because the game's changed a lot. I mean, my years at Episcopal, probably over that 10-year period, not a lot changed. We got better talent and won more games. But I think when I went to Hamden Sydney College and the collegiate game, and then you throw in the shot clock and you throw in the three-point line, that really changed the game. I mean, it's entirely different format and situations you had to work on, a big change there. And then I've changed a lot here at William & Mary. I know I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but at Episcopal and at Hampton Sydney, I mean, I kind of ran the old Carolina system. I mean, we did a lot of things that I had learned from Dean Smith, and we had a lot of success with it. And I hope to do that here at William & Mary. But frankly, early in my career here, we didn't have the athletes to run that system. So we had to find a way to survive, and we've really changed our style of play and having great success with the new style as well. So I've changed a lot. The game's changed a lot. And if you don't keep adapting and changing, you won't be in the profession very long.
Definitely. Adapting and recruiting, I definitely want to hit on, because I think that's extremely interesting at the different places you've coached. Hamden, Sydney, you really turned them into a national power in the D3 ranks. And obviously with that comes recruiting talented players. How in the D3 world, how was it recruiting? And kind of what was your philosophy at that point in time? Because, it can be challenging similar to what you're in now. If a player all of a sudden does really well, maybe he takes a D1 offer or something to that extent. And how did you kind of target or go about recruiting the guys that were that talented?
Well, again, a good question, not an easy answer. The first thing I'd say is I've been really lucky to be in only three schools, and they've all been really good academic schools. So I've enjoyed that. So at Hampton Sydney, as we do at William & Mary, we have to recruit guys that can succeed academically. And that eliminates a large part of your pool. I mean, our pool is much smaller than other schools, but we have to find guys that academics as well as athletics is important to them. So that's part of the piece. And I think the other thing we've learned to do well is try to recruit guys that will fit our style of play. And at Hampton Sydney, we were able to get good athletes, including big men who could run and play. I think when you get a good match with the person in the school or the institution, there's not a lot of transferring, so we had success there and at Hampton Sydney and here at William & Mary, we've done the same thing. But one thing that's changed for us, probably 8 years ago, we really changed our style of play. I mean, we We shoot a lot of threes now. We recruit very versatile players that are very skilled with a ball. And that's attracted our program to a lot of people. You know, if you're 6'6 and can shoot it and pass it and handle it, this is a great place for you to play, because we're going to take advantage of those skills. So, you know, I think you got to find people that fit the profile of the school you're in and fit the profile of the program, the style you play.
Yeah, well, one player I know you've recruited a lot of talented players, especially recently, and I'm willing to, you know, if you took all the William & Mary players playing overseas, I bet they could form a pretty competitive team against any college. But one player in particular, is Marcus Thornton, that I was curious about his recruitment. Once again, got to watch him in D.C. I believe it was one of the Gonzaga, you know, the Thanksgiving tournament they have up at Gonzaga. Uh-huh. And he was playing at McNamara and was very, very impressed, you know, one by his skill level, but also his athleticism. And I was just curious about that recruitment, and how are you able to land Marcus at that point in time?
Well, you know, I think a lot of it had to do with early recognition. You know, we recruited Marcus a long time. We recruited him very hard. He knew he was our guy. And I think we saw special qualities in him before others did. And so later in that senior year, when bigger schools, high majors started recruiting him, you know, there's a different feel. And I think we were, because of the relationship we had built with him, we were able to get him here. And I think what we told him came out to be true. You know, you have a chance to be one of the best to ever play at William & Mary. And if you're good enough, the NBA is going to find you. You know, you don't have to play at all Power 5 schools. You know, at William & Mary, you're going to get a better chance to showcase your skill set than you will in some other schools. And I think that was all true. And he had a great career here. Arguably, I'm not going to go back and say he's better than everybody that's ever played here, because I didn't see all those guys play. But arguably, he's the best player to ever play at William & Mary.
Yeah, it was definitely a talented.
Yeah, and ended up being a second round pick of the Celtics as well. So, you know, NBA teams were aware of him, and he's had a great pro career. He's played with the Celtics in the summer league. He's played in their G League. He's played with Cleveland's G League. He's had a 10-day contract with Cleveland, but he's just on the cusp of making the NBA. Hasn't quite been able to stick there, but he's that talented a player.
Right, and one other player, more recently, Daniel Dixon. He played in the G League last year and just signed over in France, but he was a guy familiar. He went to the rival high school I went to. He went to Langley, so I remember watching him there, and then he went to prep school, so it was kind of maybe a little bit of a late bloomer. Was it a similar circumstance with him where you found him kind of early on, or was that when, you know, a little closer toward the end of his high school career?
You know, it was a different scenario. We recruited Daniel hard from prep school. I don't remember all the details, but he didn't have a lot of offers out of high school. And that prep year helped him tremendously physically. He grew, he improved his skill set. So, you know, we thought we had a good one coming out of there. But the thing that's made Daniel good is just he's worked at the game. He's gotten better every year. And, you know, he's, you know, he too, like Marcus, has been on the cusp of the NBA and been in the summer leagues and had a great G League career or season last year, and just signed in France at the highest level. So great career. We actually have 8 players currently playing overseas at high levels. So, you know, we're getting good players at William & Mary right now and having some good success with them.
Definitely. In terms of the good players and, you know, finding them early, is there, and I know you guys have recruited a decent amount from the Midwest, but do you guys target, you know, certain geographical areas, or what's kind of the process to really find some of these gems at such a, you know, early age?
Yeah, it's a difficult thing. We have been successful in the Midwest, and really, you know, 8-10 years ago, some of the WCAC schools and the DC schools probably didn't think that highly of our program. It's not a program that had a lot of success, and with our success has brought us the opportunity to recruit more, you know, in-state and in that DC area. But we've had a lot of success, and we'd like to get more players out of there. Obviously, we've been able to prove that we can take a guy like Marcus Thornton and not only succeed with him, but give him great opportunities after graduation. But we've had success in the Midwest. I think it's an area, you know, that really puts out a lot of skilled players, versatile players, which is what we really like. And but we'll, you know, one of the good things about William & Mary is that it's a school that has a national reputation. One of the tough things about William & Mary is that we have to recruit nationally because we often, you know, we have a hard time finding guys that can fit in terms of basketball and the academics. So it's, you know, it's a, again, our recruiting pool is smaller, but, you know, guys right. who want to be great players and also value education, this is a heck of a place for them.
Definitely. And one thing you touched on earlier was the adaptability and kind of the switch in terms of the players you were looking for. And, you know, one of the websites I love is KenPom. And on that, you can, you know, over the last year, you guys were a top 30 team in the country in offense. The year before that, the last 4 to 5 years, a top 50 team. But over the last 2 years, tempo-wise, it looks like you guys really went to more of a fast-paced, up-tempo system. Is that something, once again, that every year kind of depends on the players, or was that kind of more of a strategic shift just to start pushing the tempo and playing a little faster?
Well, number one, it's the way I love to coach. I mean, it really is. It's fun to play that way. It's fun to watch these games, and it's fun to coach them. When we made a major change 8, 9, 10 years ago, we were running really the same offense we are today, but we were running it then because our quickness wasn't the same as our opponents in our league. We were running this offense really to minimize possessions in the game. You know, we didn't want to play VCU or Old Dominion, you know, in a high possession game. We probably weren't going to win that game. But because of the increase in the talent we have, the athletes we have, the ability in our players, you know, we're running almost the identical sets, but we're really up-tempo with it. I mean, you mentioned it, but in the last 5 years, there's only one school that has been in the offensive national categories that we have, and that's Gonzaga. I mean, if you look that up, I mean, last year, you know, our team led the country in 3-point field goals made. We led the country in free throw percentage. And again, not our league, but we led the country in those categories. So it's a fun way to play, I'm telling you, and it attracts a lot of kids these days. So I think we averaged 84, 85 points a game last year. And so, you know, you do adapt as a coach. We mentioned that earlier. You have to be willing to change and able to change. And we've been able to get back to playing a really quick pace.
Well, 42% from three from, you know, just one player is impressive, let alone the whole team. So right now, school's kind of just kicking off, getting back in session. Practice will be here before you know it. How's the 2018-19 season looking for you guys?
Well, it's a great question and a little bit of a question mark for us, in that, you know, the last 2 years we've lost a lot of players. I'll tell you quickly, I think our young talent is really good. We'll have only one senior on this team, and you know, that's not normally a good formula for success in college basketball. I mean, Kentucky may play with all freshmen, but, you know, for us to be successful, we've got to have experience. And you know,
right.
I think one of the keys to our success is we've stayed old. You know, we've had, you know, juniors and seniors on the floor. Our junior class is one of the best classes we've ever had. You know, Nathan Knight has proven himself at this level, is a great player. Justin Pierce had a tremendous sophomore year. Matt Milan, who was a transfer from Boston College, had a great sophomore year. So we have a great nucleus returning. but we have six new players as well, and those guys are going to have to play for us. So if we can blend the juniors with the freshmen and sophomores, good things can happen. It's just going to, you know, it's going to take time to see how we can mesh those kids together.
Okay. Well, definitely looking forward to seeing how you guys do, both non-conference and then in the CAA, which is always a strong conference. But last question for you. We talked about Dean Smith earlier, but I was just curious about who some of either your mentors or some of the people that you've really respected in helping you through this long and successful career have been.
Well, you know, it would certainly start with Dean Smith and Bill Guthridge. I learned so much from them as a player and then continue to learn from them as a young coach. I think the Carolina family, and I know that's some people think that's a hokey term, but it's not. I mean, the Carolina guys that are in coaching today, from Larry Brown to young guys today that we talk and exchange ideas. But another name that's become good friends with and really studied his style of play is John Beilein. You know, I thought he's a coach. If you look at his background from the Division III days to Richmond to West Virginia, you know, he took really skilled players, guys that could really pass and shoot, and beat better athletes sometimes. And I felt like that's something we had to do here. So I really studied how they played and have adopted some of his philosophies. And now that we've got the athletes to play with others, it's been a great formula, and it's been a lot of fun.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your day. I know you have a lot going on, but just given, you know, your record from high school to D3 to D1 and the success you've had, I was very interested in talking to you and learning more about your career as well as your coaching and recruiting philosophy. So thank you very much for coming on the podcast today.
My pleasure, Sean, and best of luck to you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. All right. We'll see you.
All right. Bye.